In your Bible, if you can go ahead and open up to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles is in the Old Testament. You'll see 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. And then after 1 and 2 Kings, you'll see 1 and 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Once you're there, if you can go ahead and bookmark that page in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to be there a little bit later in the message. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Go ahead and lay a bookmark or an offering envelope in front of you, something there to hold that page for later. And then once you've got that, go ahead and turn to the New Testament to our main passage that we're going to be in this morning, and that is going to be Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. So we have 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we have Luke chapter 18. Good. Luke chapter 18 is where we'll be starting this evening. Let me start off by asking you this question, and the question is this: do you believe that prayer makes a difference? Yes. Next question is this, is do we pray as if prayer makes a difference? That's a little tougher question, isn't it? When we personalize that question, it is a little bit tougher. Let me start off by telling you this story. A young man went to a drugstore, and when he went to the drugstore, he made some purchases, and some of the purchases that he made were 3 boxes of chocolate. He bought a large box of chocolate, he bought a medium-sized box of chocolate, and he bought a small box of chocolate, 3 boxes. And then when he went to the cashier to check out, the pharmacist was there at the register, and the pharmacist checked him out, and the pharmacist was curious. And the pharmacist said, "Why the 3 boxes of chocolate?" And the young man said this. He said, "Later on tonight, I'm going to my new girlfriend's house, and I'm going to meet her family for the first time. And then after we have dinner, we're going to go out on our first date. And if she lets me give her a little hug, I'm going to give her the little box of chocolate. If she lets me give her a smooch on the cheek at the end of the date, I'm going to give her the medium box of chocolate. But if she really lets me plant one on her, she gets the big box of chocolate." And the pharmacist just stared at her, and he's grinning. And so the guy made his purchases, and he left. Later on that night, he went to the girlfriend's house, showed up for dinner to meet her family, have dinner. They all sat down for dinner at the table, and he had his boxes of chocolate in the car waiting. But there was one problem. The problem was this. Right before they were getting ready to eat dinner, he asked if he could say the blessing, if he could pray. And all of a sudden, he prayed this long, intense prayer fervently for about 5 minutes. And then when he was done, his girlfriend looked at him and said, "I never knew you were such a prayerful person." And he looked at her and said, "I never knew your dad was the pharmacist." That young man believed that prayer would make a difference. But what about God? Does God want us to pray? Does God hear our prayers? Do our prayers really make a difference? From the Bible, God's word to us, you will see the answers to all those questions is what you just said. Yes. Luke chapter 18 deals with the subject of prayer. When you read the Bible and when you read about the life of Jesus, do you kind of get the picture that Jesus was a prayerful person? His disciples, for instance, they watched him, and one of them requested this of him in Luke chapter number 11. They asked of Jesus this question. They said, "Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray." You know, the people in the first century, 2,000 years ago, were blessed to be able to see Jesus, to be able to see God in human flesh, in action. Can you imagine being there in Israel that day? The Bible says that Jesus did many wonderful works, like make the blind to see, make the lame to walk, he rose the dead. Jesus did all these things, things that the people in that day, the things you and I, if we were there 2,000 years ago, would be in awe of seeing these things take place. But you know what the strange thing is? Do you know what the odd thing is? It's this. After seeing Jesus do all these magnificent works for years, we don't read about Jesus' disciples requesting of him, "Lord, teach us how to do miracles. Lord, teach us how to do this. Teach us how to do that." We don't read about that. The one thing that stood out in Jesus' life that the disciples took notice of, that they wanted to imitate him in, the one thing they requested of him was this: Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. I don't know about you, but to me that says a lot. That says a lot for 3 years of being with this man, God in the flesh, in human flesh here on earth. And that was the one request that they made of him. They recognized that to Jesus, prayer made a difference. They saw and they understood the power of prayer. An atheist will tell you that prayer is a sign of dependency and a sign of weakness, but they don't understand that prayer is just the opposite. Prayer is a source of power and strength, drawing from the mightiest power source that's available to man. Jesus himself knew this. So in Luke chapter number 18, Jesus gives this parable about prayer. He shares the main principle of this parable in verse number 1, and it is this. It's captured in this verse, and that is that men ought always to pray. Look with me at Luke 18, verse number 1. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, and here he starts with the parable. A parable is a short story involving human characters that conveys a divine or godly principle. This is what he's telling us now is his parable. He says, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. So this judge, he didn't care what God thought, and he didn't care what you thought. Verse number 3, and there was a widow. So we have our human characters here. We have the judge, and we have the widow. And there was a widow also in that city, and she came unto him, came unto that judge, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Verse number 6, and the Lord, this is Jesus speaking now, hear what the unjust judge saith. You hear what the unjust judge saith? Verse number 7, he compares it to the Almighty Judge God. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith on the earth? This story starts with a widow who had a problem. Her problem may be different than your problem. It might be different than my problem, but I want you to understand this. It was a problem that she had. She had an adversary who was trying to take advantage of her, is what this parable teaches us. And we don't know for sure, but it might have been someone that was trying to cheat her out of her money or land that her husband had left her. That was very prevalent in Bible times because women had very few legal rights. And in Jesus' parable, not only did this widow have to overcome the barrier of being a woman in that day, but she also faced an unbelieving judge, an unjust judge. Those are two very big obstacles that she had to face. And as we said, this judge didn't care what God thought. He didn't care what man thought. And he was probably a Gentile judge that was just assigned and designated by the Roman authorities just to sit in that seat and be the judge. He couldn't care less. So this widow had some obstacles to overcome. But don't we also? Our obstacles, like I said, might be different than her obstacles, but we don't. But we do have them, just like she did. And Christ knew this as this parable was being recorded for us here in Scripture. So what principles is Christ trying to emphasize and how prayer can be the difference maker when problems come our way? The first principle that I want you to see in Scripture that Jesus teaches in this parable is this. And that is, number one, don't worry, but pray. Don't worry, but pray. In this parable, the widow, she didn't sit at home worrying about her problem, but notice this, she did something about it. What did she do? Instead of worrying, she approached the only person that could help her. And in this case, it was the judge. Look with me at verse number 3. It says in verse number 3 that she came unto him. When the parable speaks of the widow coming to the judge, we understand that Jesus, according to the premise of this parable in verse number 1, is emphasizing that we should be coming to the righteous judge, Jesus Christ, in prayer. We should be coming to God with our problem. We don't need to worry when we do that, because when we come to God with our problems, we're placing our burden into His almighty hands. You know, let me give you an illustration. I have a five-year-old son named Elijah. And many of you know Elijah. Some of you guys call him Joshua, but it's okay. He goes by either name, Elijah, Elisha, Joshua, Moses. He might stare at you for a minute, but Elijah's 5 years old. But if Elijah had a two-year-old brother and he had a one-year-old sister, and if Elijah had a really big problem that he was dealing with, that he really needed to get resolved, you know, in his case, it's something like his bicycle chain came off his bike, okay? So he's got this huge problem that he's dealing with. He doesn't come to his little brother, his little sister for help, does he? He asks who? He asks mom or dad, because that five-year-old boy knows that his father has the capability to deliver. He has the capability to help. Just like that widow came to that judge, Jesus says that you can come to God in prayer always. God hears and answers our prayers today, and He has the power to help. Hold your place here in Luke chapter 18. We'll be back in a minute. And turn back to that first passage I had you bookmark in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The concept of God hearing prayers and answering prayers is a cross-dispensational principle that you'll find in your Bible from beginning to end. You can just take one book of the Bible, one book of the Old Testament, such as 2 Chronicles that Pastor Rob preached from this morning, and you can turn to that one book and you can see just in one book how God moves in response to prayer. Look with me and let's take a quick tour of 2 Chronicles and see how God works through prayer when people pray. Notice the progression here in these verses. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. I'm in 1 Chronicles. Hopefully you didn't make the same mistake I did. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Look at verse number 4. And it says, "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." So number one, they're recognizing the fact that they know who to come to for help. And that's the Lord. Turn with me a few chapters later to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. And look at me at the end of verse number 8. At the end of verse number 8. At the end of verse number 8, it says this. It says, "For God hath power to help." God hath power to help. So number one, the people, they acknowledge the fact that God has power to help. They come to ask Him for help. Look with me, 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Turn back a few books to 2 Chronicles, excuse me, a few chapters back to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Let's go to 14. In 2 Chronicles 14, look at verse number 11. And I'm going to read a portion of that verse. Let's go to the very beginning of the verse. It says, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help." Basically, what he's saying is, God, with you, helping is not an issue. Helping is no problem. He says, "Whether with many or with them that have no power." And then Asa cries out to God and says, "Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee." So we see the progression, asking help of God, actually praying to Him in this verse. He's telling God, "God, help us, for we rest in Thee." And I want you to look at the next chapter, chapter 15. Look with me at verse number 4. It says in 15, verse 4, and it says, "And when they were in their trouble," what did they do? "They did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and they sought Him." And then notice this, the last part of that verse says, "He was what? He was found of them." That basically means He heard them. They're crying out for help. They realize that God has the power to help. They actually pray to Him and said, "Lord, we need your help. Please help us. We're seeking you." And then here in this chapter, we see that God actually, the verse actually says that he was found of them. God heard their prayers. Look with me at chapter number 20, 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, verse 15. And guess what? After God hears them, here's another section here in 2 Chronicles where you see God delivers. God answers prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. It says, "And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but whose? But God's. God is coming through. God is going to deliver. God is going to help. Chapter 26. And I love this. Chapter 26, look at me at verse 7. And let's read the first four words together. It says this. It says, and God helped him. And God helped him. A little bit later on in that chapter, in verse number 15, I love this, how it's phrased. Later on in that chapter, verse 15, it concludes that him there, speaking of Uzziah, it says he was marvelously helped. Do y'all see that? Near the end of the verse, he was marvelously helped. I like that. We have a God who wants you to come to him in prayer, who hears you, and we have a God who can marvelously help. You know, when we don't pray and when we worry instead, what are we doing? We're filling our minds really with some bad thoughts of the worst possible thing that could happen. You know, the worst case scenarios are those thoughts that kind of run through our mind and run over and over and over in our mind when we don't pray and we worry instead. And, you know, around 50 AD or so, we have a great example for us in the New Testament, in the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, during that day, was stuck in a dark, damp dungeon, facing the possibility of having his head chopped off. And instead of worrying about dying and being decapitated, Paul prayed. And in addition to praying, Paul wrote letters to other believers and encouraged them to pray and not worry. And some of the believers that he wrote to do that very thing were the Philippians. In Philippians chapter number 4, I've got a couple of verses for you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. He says this. It says, be careful for nothing. In other words, in today's vernacular, that means this. Don't worry. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And here it is again. God wants to hear our prayers. This is directed to us living in this dispensation of grace today. He says, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God is still marvelously helping today, and he works in you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's working through Christ in you to provide you peace and to provide you comfort, provide you understanding. When you face a challenging circumstance in your life, you have two choices. Choice number one is you can lose heart. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 uses the word faint. That means to lose heart. And you can let the worrisome thoughts control your mind and run through the worst case scenarios in your mind over and over and over again until it drives you crazy. Or number two, you can pray about it. I don't know about you, but I like choice number two. Turn back with me to Luke chapter number 18. In Luke chapter number 18, I want us to see something else. But before we do, on the screen, we've got one other verse from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Again, letting you know that you can bring your requests before God. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So principle number one is this. Don't worry, but pray. Principle number two from this parable is this. Once you're praying, don't stop praying. Do you ever get in a rut where you stop praying? You don't have to answer that out loud. You don't have to raise your hand. But I would need to raise my hand if I were to be honest. You do get in a rut where you stop praying. Your prayer life really isn't what it should be. Back in Luke chapter 18, verse number 1, let's look at it again. It says that he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, the word faint there doesn't mean like what we think it means today, like kind of like what I did a couple years ago up here when I preached, you know, flat on my back. That's not that kind of faint. The word faint in that particular verse means this. It means to be weary or to be weak or to fail in heart, to fail in heart. You know, today we would say these words. We would say the word faint means to give up. So basically what Jesus is saying here in this passage is men ought always to pray and not give up. Not give up. In this parable, this widow kept on asking the judge to grant her justice. Look at me at verse number 5. It says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me, is what Jesus told in this principle. She didn't just ask once and say, let me know what you decide. She kept asking. She was persistent. Verse 5 uses those two words, continual coming. She didn't stop. She didn't give up. A person who knows that prayer is the difference maker keeps in constant communication with God. They talk to him repeatedly throughout the day. As you're at work, as you're at school, as you're at college, keep in constant communication with God. The people around you might see your lips moving and notice that there's no words coming out and there's no one in sight that you're talking to and might think you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But use that as an opportunity to tell them where the source of your strength comes from. Sometimes I get caught at home doing that. My lips are moving, and Elijah or Kathy will ask me. Elijah will ask me, say, Daddy, who are you talking to? Elijah, I'm talking to God. People in the Bible knew that prayer is the difference maker. And they knew a component of that was to pray persistently. Pray persistently. They didn't give up. Have you ever prayed about something and when God didn't answer your prayer immediately, you gave up? You quit praying? That's a big mistake. You've heard of the saying that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Or in this case, praying. Even the best of people get knocked down in life. But what sets them apart from the quitters is that they get right back up. They don't give up. This widow had an adversary. Just like that widow, we have an adversary who the Bible calls the devil. One that will try to take your feet out from under you. One that wants you to quit. Quit praying. Quit giving. Quit serving. Quit coming to church. But in this parable, Jesus uses this little widow as an example of someone who refused to yield to the adversary. Keep in constant communication with God. There's a preacher, his name is George Mueller. He said these words about praying. He said, the great point is to never give up until you get an answer to your prayer. He said, I've been praying for 63 years and 8 months for one man to get saved. That's a long time. George Mueller died, and this man still was not saved. But as they lowered Mueller's casket into the ground, that man at that funeral service repented of his sins and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. 63 years. That's persistent prayer. That's persistent prayer. There's an acronym that I saw that I liked, and it's PUSH, P-U-S-H. Do you know what that stands for? That's right. Pray until something happens. PUSH. I've got a testimony, Brother Rob. If you can bring it to Ed Fields. Ed's going to come up here and give us a testimony of that very thing about persistent prayer.
Thank you. You know, one thing that I thought about this evening is, I love Brother Dan, Pastor Dan. But aren't we a blessed church that we've got pastors that fill in that bring us rightly divided word of God? Aren't we a blessed people this evening? You know, folks, there's power in prayer. I'm a old country boy from Big Tyler Mountain, West Virginia. There's a lot I don't know. But I tell you one thing I do know. There's power in prayer. You know, Pastor Rich asked me to give a testimony. Don't be concerned. It really only going to last a couple of hours, and then we'll be out of here. How many of you belong to a life group? Then you know that there's power in prayer. You know, I'm reminded of Psalm 55:17. It says, "Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, for he shall hear my voice." Have you ever noticed that prayer isn't always answered the way that we think it will be answered? Have you ever noticed that it isn't always answered in the time that we think it should be? Have you ever noticed that? You know, I was also reminded that sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray, and a prayer is answered, and then we're amazed by it. Remember when Peter was put in jail? Remember when Herod put Peter in jail, and the folks went to the house, and they prayed fervently for Peter? An angel came and removed Peter from jail. As he goes to the house and as he pounds on that door, Rhoda comes to the door, and she was amazed. She runs to tell the people. And the people says, and I'm paraphrasing here, Rhoda, you're crazy. Man, don't bother us. We're praying. You ever notice that sometimes we're amazed when God answers prayer? But just like Peter, you see, the angel fetched Peter out of that prison, but it was the prayer that fetched the angel. You know, a couple of years ago, about a year and a half ago, our life group started a prayer meeting. We meet every Tuesday or twice a month on Thursday evenings. And that was initiated by a prayer warrior, Brother Bob Myron. He encouraged us, and he encouraged us, and we did that. And we've seen success as a result of those prayer meetings. You know, we've realized the truth in James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, we not only pray, but we study about prayer. We've talked about the Old Testament saints who were actually prayer warriors. We talk about Abraham and Moses, Nehemiah, Solomon, and Job. And then we studied the prayer warriors in the New Testament. You know, Jesus was a man of prayer. Paul prayed constantly. What an example he was for us. Elijah was an ordinary man who prayed powerfully. But through these last couple of years, we have seen prayer answered. We have seen the brothers of three in that prayer group saved. We've seen that the Holy Spirit convicted them. We've seen that prayer gave us confidence to go to them and present the gospel. We've seen people healed. There are a lot of folks in our life group that have gone through some difficult times. We've seen folks with cancer, and I'm one of them. We've seen the power of prayer. We've seen people strengthened in difficult circumstances. Folks, there's power in prayer. And I say one other thing. There's power in the church's prayer. You know, we learned about a boy, 15 years old. And this young man, as he had done many times, the pastor came up to him and said, "Hey, brother, would you end us in prayer this evening?" And this young man said, "Pastor, you need to get somebody else." He said, "I don't feel prepared to do that this evening." That young boy left. 40 years later, because of the prayers of a church, that boy returned to become a child of the living God. And that young man stands in front of you today. Folks, there is power in prayer.
pray until something happens. I'm confident that many of you could testify that God answered or has answered prayers in your life too. God answers prayer usually in one of three ways. First way is this: God might answer your prayer quickly. It's interesting in verse number 8 of Luke chapter 18 that the word speedily is used in that verse to describe how God answers prayer. But we must understand that the words speedily or quickly are relative terms. When someone is hurt really badly, I might say something like this. I might say, call 911 quickly. And what's that mean? That means right away. But if a couple, if a man and a woman meet and they date for about 3 months and all of a sudden they get married, you know, after dating 3 or 4 months after they first met, I might say, man, they sure got married quickly. Do y'all see the difference? Your prayers might seem to go unanswered for months, maybe years, but then boom, God gives the answer. Don't give up on prayer. Number two, God might answer your prayer not only quickly, but God might answer your prayer better. Sometimes you don't get what you ask for because God has something better in store for you. The wife of a very well-known preacher once said this. She said, if God answered every prayer of mine the way I asked, I would have married the wrong man 7 times. Don't you remember those days? God might answer your prayer quickly. God might answer your prayer better. God might answer your prayer no. Sometimes you ask God for something and his answer is simply no. But is that still an answer to prayer? It is. I remember several years ago, I was praying for my aunt. Just about all of my relatives live overseas in Italy and Sicily. Kathy and I had an opportunity to go there this past spring. And I first time I've been there since I was 15, so it's been over 25 years since I've been there to see them. So I took Kathy. She'd never been there before, met my family. But a few years ago, my aunt was dying of cancer, and I just prayed and prayed and asked God to heal her, and I prayed persistently, I prayed passionately about that, but then a few months later, she died, but that was God's answer. He chose to allow her to be released from the pain and suffering of this life and enjoy the blessings of the eternal life to come. So when we pray, God might not always answer our prayers exactly the way that we want. But when we pray, we've got to remember this, that God always does what is best. A father doesn't always give his child everything that they want or request of him, but a father always tries to do what's best for them. And there's one sure way that God will do nothing in a situation to help you, and that is don't pray. God works through people, and he works through the prayers of people. He always has, and he always will. People that recognize prayer is powerful, that prayer makes a difference, they not only pray persistently, but they pray specifically. Hold your place here in Luke chapter 18, and I'm going to go to that passage that Ed was speaking about, Psalm 55. And Ed, of all the passages in prayer in the Bible, you picked the one that I'm going to right now, which is amazing. Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Notice in these examples that I'm going to give you, notice this. Notice not only the persistence of these people's prayers, but also notice the specificity of their requests. They're very specific in their prayers. Like the widow we just saw, we all know exactly what she was praying for. She's praying for help with this adversary that she was dealing with. Here in Psalm 55, as Ed mentioned, we see them mention David here. In Psalm 55, look with me at verse 16 and 17. David writes, and as for me, I will call upon who? God, and the Lord shall save me. He'll deliver me. He'll help me. And then verse 17, it says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry out loud, and he shall hear my voice. David wasn't one of those one-a-day vitamin prayer people. David says that he prayed 3 times a day. He knew who to come to in prayer. He knew that God could hear his voice, and he knew that God could intervene and save him. We don't have to turn there, but It reminds me of another person in the Bible, and Samuel. Samuel's mother, her name was Hannah. And Hannah desperately wanted a child. And the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12, that she continued praying specifically for that child. Those words, continued praying, are in that verse. She didn't give up. Jesus Christ, on the night before his crucifixion, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He persistently and specifically prayed in Matthew 26, this, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Jesus cried out to the Father who heard him and then who gave him the strength and the resolve to face the cross. Paul, we know Paul had some kind of painful affliction that he called the thorn in the flesh. And he begged the Lord to specifically remove that pain. He asked not once. He asked not twice. He was persistent. The Bible says he asked thrice, which means three times. And when God answered his prayer, it wasn't the answer Paul wanted. God didn't take away the thorn, but instead, God gave him the grace to cope with the pain. So Paul began to give God glory in the midst of his pain. A little bit later, one of Paul's followers, Epaphras, and Epaphras in Colossians 4:12, we read about him, and he knew what he wanted to see God do in the people's lives in Colossae. And he wanted to see them living according to God's will, according to God's word. So what did he do? The Bible says he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed specifically for that. This week, starting tomorrow, we have two new prayer groups that start up, and they serve a specific purpose. One of them is called the Sweet Hour of Prayer. There's a slide behind me. And what they are interested in doing is this. It's a ladies' prayer group that is interested, and they know the importance of taking the eyes off yourself and focusing on growing in compassion and love by reaching out to others. Isn't it amazing how much smaller your problems seem when you take the focus off yourself and you pray for other people? They grow in compassion. They want to reach other people with their prayers. This is a group that meets that's going to start tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in room 301. And then later this week, on Saturday, we have another group that's meeting as well, a brand new prayer group. It's called Praying Parents. Maybe you have a teenager. Maybe you have an adult son or daughter in your life that's not saved. Maybe they are saved, but they're not walking with the Lord at this point in time. And that breaks your heart. I mean, that hurts you to see them not walking with the Lord. This is a prayer group for you, if that's the case. It's called Praying Parents, where you can get together with other parents whose children are not saved or they're not walking with the Lord and pray for each other's kids. They meet this Saturday at 10 a.m. in that same room next door. These groups are praying persistently. They're going to meet on a regular basis. They are praying specifically in accordance with what we are teaching you tonight. We're giving you an outlet to put this into practice. The people that are starting these new prayer groups, they recognize that prayer is powerful. They recognize that prayer makes a difference. We must pray persistently. We must pray specifically. And we should also pray passionately. Sometimes when we can't pray specifically about something, we don't have to worry because Romans chapter 8 says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and the words that we can't get out of our mouth. You ever have trouble praying about something, you just can't get the words out of your mouth? The Bible says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and communicates our prayers to God. But this last point I've given you is this, and that is we should pray passionately. In this parable of this widow back in Luke chapter 18, turn back there with me, you get the sense that this widow was not a quiet little widow. She was coming to the judge with a purpose and with some passion. David, for example, we just heard about him. And it said in that verse in Psalm 55:17, it said that he prayed evening and morning and at noon. He said, "Will I pray and cry out loud?" David was a passionate, prayerful person. In 1 Samuel chapter number 1, remember Hannah that I mentioned to you earlier, Hannah, that prayed for that birth of that baby Samuel? It says this about Hannah. It says this, and she said, "I have poured out my soul before the Lord." That's passionate prayer. That's passionate prayer. That's 1 Samuel 1:15. Remember Jesus? The Bible says in Luke 22, it says this, I have on the screen for you. It says that he prayed more earnestly. And tell me if this isn't passionate prayer. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That's passionate prayer. Passionate prayer. Epaphras, one of Paul's followers, told the Colossians in chapter 4, verse 12, this about Epaphras. He says, Epaphras is always, he's persistent in praying. He's laboring always fervently for you in prayers. If we believe that our prayers make a difference, if we believe that our prayers move the heart of God, do you know what we'll do? We'll do the same thing that these people did. David, Hannah, Jesus, Paul, Epaphras did. And that is, we will pray if we believe that prayer makes a difference. If we believe that God hears our prayers. If we believe that God can answer our prayers. We will pray. We will pray. Back in Luke chapter 18, Jesus contrasts this unjust judge who was troubled by the widow's continual plea in verse number 5 to God in verse number 7, who he says bears along with them, who cried day and night unto him. God patiently listens to us, and he endures with us. How loving is our God? Tonight, let me conclude by asking this question, and that is, how is your prayer life? I started off by asking you this question, do you believe prayer makes a difference? And then I followed up with this question. I said, do you pray as if prayer makes a difference? How's your prayer life? What's God trying to say to you personally tonight in this matter of prayer? Are you consumed with worry and anxiety? Pray instead. Have you stopped praying about something? You don't have a regular, consistent prayer life? Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 teaches that God is able to do amazing things, but his power works in you. God has chosen to work in and through human beings today on this earth. Will the power of prayer be evident in your life in 2012? Let prayer be your difference maker. For Jesus said, men ought always to pray. Let's bow our heads.